Well, it's great to be with you again. As you heard, my name is Alistair. Background was in ministry for many years with the Salvation Army. I'm South African by birth, grew up in the Salvation Army, and then was called by the Salvation Army to go to London, went to Bible College in London, and then they sent me all over the place, the Salvation Army. I was a church minister in Italy for some years, all over the UK. And it was while I was a church minister or a Salvation Army officer in Peterborough that I came into contact with the work of the leprosy mission. In fact, I lived literally a stone's throw away from the leprosy mission head office in Peterborough. And they often used to come and call me to take prayers there. Now, at the same time, my wife became editor of their magazines and did all their editorial work. And it was a stone's throw from my house. And it was one day while I was leading prayers, somebody came to me and said, I know you're in ministry with the Salvation Army, and I know you're a church minister, but we really need somebody like you to head up the work of the leprosy mission in the West Midlands. It subsequently also become the East Midlands as well, and a very big area. To go into churches and to point people to God and also to the work of the leprosy mission as well, and to those affected by leprosy. So I'm married to Karen. We now live in the West Midlands. Used to live in Erdington. Now live in Aldridge because I go to the East Midlands a lot, and that's just a little bit easier to get to from Aldridge. And Karen works in Birmingham City Centre for Ofwat now. And I have two grown-up children at university, son in the last year of his master's degree in engineering at Bath, and a daughter who's doing a psychology degree at Bangor in Wales. And then I have a 4-and-a-half-year-old who visited our room in a rather unwelcome manner at 5 o'clock this morning to announce that it was morning and it was time to get up. I said, well, maybe for you, but not for us. Okay, so it's really lovely to be here. This church has been supporting the work of the leprosy mission for decades, especially through the Aylins here who've been keeping the flag flying, if you like, for the work of the leprosy mission. That's really vital. Because people who have, we don't get leprosy really in the United Kingdom, a couple of cases per annum. In fact, the gentleman who's responsible for tropical diseases in Birmingham is a friend of mine, and he says, we get very excited when we see a case of leprosy in Birmingham because it's so infrequent. Very often they just refer them down to the London School of Tropical Medicine. So it's not something we see in the United Kingdom, and because it's out of sight, it can be out of mind. But yet, as that scripture that was brought to you, people who had leprosy really Jesus really had a heart for them. And I think part of the reason was Jesus really had a heart for outcasts. And there's no better definition of somebody who is an outcast than somebody who has leprosy. So really, my job today is going to be to dip into the Word of God and point you to scripture, and then also take you to India as well. So I'm going to be trying to do two things in the sermon. I guess when I was in Bible college, there were many different types. When I did sermon construction in Bible college many years ago, there were many different types of sermon. There's some called redactional, and there's various other kinds. This is called applicational, where you take some scripture, and then you look at the mission. In India today, we're going to be looking at, but you can also apply it to mission here where you live. I'm going to be looking at some scripture. I'm also going to be looking at the Purulia Hospital in West Bengal, India. Now, that's a very special hospital in the leprosy mission. I was there not too long ago, and I've seen the amazing difference being made at that hospital. And it's churches like yours that help to keep the work going. Through prayer, you know, there's a lady in Birmingham. She's just gone into a care home, over 90 years of age, and she started praying for the leprosy mission 70 years ago. 70 years ago, she started a prayer meeting for the leprosy mission. That prayer meeting still is going today, and Thelma has only stopped attending because she's gone into a care home. And every month, they meet together, and they meet only to pray for the work of the leprosy mission. I mean, in the course of prayers, I'm very often there, and in the course of prayers, many other things come in, as they always do. You know, sickness, family concerns, and other things. But its primary focus is to pray. So people in Birmingham have been praying for the work of the leprosy mission for over 70 years in that one prayer meeting. People have been supporting financially. I met a lady the other day who was 98, and she started supporting the work of the leprosy mission when she was 6 years of age, in the days when it was called the Mission to Lepers. She's 98, so you can work that out. 98 minus 6 equals 92 years she's been supporting the work of the leprosy mission. That's phenomenal, isn't it? But it's the prayer, it's the financial support that really make a difference. And the leprosy mission was built around prayer. So following Jesus' example, we seek to demonstrate his message through the love and compassion that we show towards people affected by leprosy. You know, growing up in the Salvation Army believed that sometimes the most powerful way you can preach the gospel is by rolling up your sleeves and helping people. They called it Christianity with its sleeves rolled up. Christianity with its sleeves rolled up. So obviously they preach the gospel, but they also try to help people. As I drove in this morning, I saw the Birmingham City Mission van parked up in your car park. That again is an expression of practical Christianity, isn't it? Christianity with its sleeves rolled up. William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, got thousands and thousands of people saved, many of them drunkards. And he used to say, go for souls and go for the worst. The more unrespectable, the more William Booth had a heart for them. The more other churches didn't want to have anything to do with him, the more William Booth wanted to reach out to them. And he set up a tent in the East End of London. There's a bust. If you drive down Whitechapel Road in the East End of London, you'll see there's a bust there near the mosque and near the Blind Beggar Pub. Whitechapel Road, there's a bust of William Booth. And it's the spot where he once had a tent campaign. And he put up this huge marquee. It was winter. Huge, huge, huge marquee. And I think there were 5,000 people in that marquee. And 4,000 got saved. Many of them drunkards and alcoholics. But one of the things he noticed was he looked down at the ground as he was preaching. Hellfire and brimstone, as they used to do in those days. And he looked down on the floor and on the ground, and he saw lots of blue feet. The reason they were blue is there were barefooted men in there with no shoes. And a lot of them had no shoes. And their feet were on the ice. There was a sheet of ice, and it was on the ice. And he turned to somebody next to him. He said, you know, nobody got a blessing while they had freezing, ice-cold feet. Let's do something about it. Let's put some shoes on their feet. And hence, this expression of practical Christianity came in. And the leprosy mission is another way of showing Christianity in a very practical way to people who are suffering. So let's look at the scripture then. Jesus in the Bible chose 12 very ordinary people, people like you, and people like me, people to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those with leprosy, as we read, and to drive out demons. The 12 disciples were men of ordinary means. You know, when I was a church pastor in Italy, I one day had a gentleman who got saved through the ministry of our church. And he came to me. And just like in the United Kingdom, in Italy, as an expression of their membership of the Salvation Army, people put on a uniform. It's just one of the traditions of the Salvation Army. Comes from the Victorian age, obviously, when it was onward Christian soldiers marching us to war. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross, etc. That image of fighting injustice and wrongdoing and sin in our world. And he wanted to become a member of the Salvation Army, so he came to me and he said, I've got saved. The next step for me is membership. But he said, you know, I had a heart transplant at a Milan hospital 10 years ago. And they've said, I'm on borrowed time. They gave me 8 years, or maybe 5 to 8 years was the expected life expectancy from that particular operation. He says it's the anti-rejection drugs that are still kind of keeping me alive. And he said, I'm on borrowed time now. And he said, I've got no strength. The medication sometimes makes me depressed, down in the dumps. I've got nothing to give to you. I can't do anything. I can't play in the Salvation Army band. I can't sing in your choir. I've got no singing voice. I can't go out on your street, do your street ministry, your street evangelism. I can't do nothing. So what would you want me as a member for? And I said to him simply this. You can just be. You don't have to do. You can just be. You understand what I'm saying? Be relational with your Lord Jesus Christ. Be in a relationship with him. Be praying. There are things you can do. If physically you cannot do anything else. That's what I say to people who say, you know, I can't go on the mission. I can't do things to help other people. There's still a lot you can be. Be in prayer. Be faithful. Be in relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So many things. Let's go now to the feast at Cana, where the wedding was taking place. So here at Cana, we have the wedding. And the wine had run out. Now, as a former member of the Salvation Army, I'm no longer a member, but I still don't drink alcohol. Just because I grew up that way, we didn't drink alcohol. That was that. Salvation Army members didn't, and I don't. And because I've never done it, you know, it just doesn't taste good to me. So I don't. They debated very hotly in the Salvation Army Bible College. Was biblical wine actually wine? Was it alcoholic? Was it just grape juice? What was it? I can tell you something now. It's not important. Not important. Don't get caught up in that kind of debate. What is important is that Jesus took something ordinary, something that was insipid. Now, I've got a 4.5-year-old daughter. And, you know, for health reasons, we try to avoid fruit juices, you know, sugar on the teeth and all the rest of it. So we often give her water. And she complains like anything. It's got no taste. It's boring. Water's boring. And we try and encourage her ourselves by having big glasses of water ourselves. But then she wants milk, or she wants flavored milk, or she wants, you know, if we go to a shop, it's fruit shoots or, you know, whatever. Anything that is not water, she wants. And there's a reason for it, because to her little palate, water is plain, it's boring, it's got no taste. And indeed, Jesus takes that in our life, which is plain, which is maybe not great to taste, and he transforms it. You know, now this is a brand new sermon that I prepared for today, and every single leprosy mission sermon I have preached, and I have preached hundreds, because I preach in many, many, many churches. And some churches say to me, Alistair, I drove across one day to Mablethorpe on the Lincolnshire coast. Now, from where I live, that's over 3 hours there and 3 hours back. So 6-hour round trip. And they said, we can, could we have a 10-minute talk? I think, gee, 6 hours for a 10-minute talk. I could have sent them a DVD or something. Anyway, another church went to, an Elim Pentecostal Church in Nottingham, said, oh, the sermon will be about an hour long if you can, an hour. But I'm not going to give you an hour today. You'll be pleased. Your roast dinner will be burnt. But Jesus takes that which is ordinary and he transforms it. And every sermon I've preached, I've looked over, somehow is connected to transformation, because that's the work of Jesus, isn't it? Touching hearts, touching lives. And it's very much the work of the leprosy mission. The insipid water of the pre-Christian life is a poor substitute in comparison with the new wine and the richness of the new life that Jesus offers, isn't it? I was asked to go into a school recently, shall remain nameless, the school shall remain nameless, Christian school, and I was asked to sign a declaration before I took the school assembly that I wouldn't radicalize the children. I wouldn't radicalize them. I'm a Christian, and I'm going in there as a Christian. And then I noticed that the week afterwards, they had another visiting speaker from the Salvation Army, who I know, who's quite a fiery preacher. And I thought, oh my word, I might be able to tone it down a bit, but I'm not sure if my friend over there from the Salvation Army is going to do it. But it's radical, isn't it? Christianity is radical. It's hard not to be radical. When Jesus comes in, the changes are radical in our lives. The changes are radical. Water into wine is a radical transformation, is it not? Is it not? Now, I said I was going to take you into India in the course of my sermon. So here we are. Many people who suffer from leprosy suffer from the effects of stigma. It's one of the worst parts of the disease is being stigmatized, to face rejection from their friends, their family, and their community as a whole, to be forced out of normal society, to live alone, to be outcast, sad and marginalized, and for some, like this little girl, to grow up in a leprosy colony. You can't see it very well. But Jesus offers new life, and for many, it's right here at the entrance. Right here at the entrance. Sorry, I think the slide, one or two of the slides seem to have got out of sync. There was supposed to be a picture of a little girl. Here we are at the entrance to the Purulia Hospital. Jesus offers new life. And here, through the work of the Purulia Hospital in West Bengal, since 1888, our very first hospital in India, amazing work has been going on. There's a statistic I would like to share with you. There are a great number of people who get saved through the work of the leprosy mission. It's not something we tend to publicize loudly and vocally, because we work in some Muslim countries where we would get into serious trouble if that were publicized. But there are many, 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 many stories of people getting saved. And in Mozambique, the leprosy mission is involved not just in medical work, in Bible, distribution of the Bible. They're involved in the Bible College, the Pemba Bible College. Dr. Ari de Kreef, our doctor there, is involved in that. And the ministry, our work is not just reaching out to people in terms of their practical needs, but leading people to Christ. Now, I was having a chat with Dr. Aylin, and he was saying about Dr. Paul Brand. And there he is over there, Dr. Paul Brand on the right. The pioneer of much of our surgery and tendon transfer techniques he taught and trained many dedicated medical staff. And this is where it all started, this hospital here, Purulia. Eddie Askew, our writer and artist, was a former superintendent at the hospital, and it provided much of the inspiration for his paintings and books. You know, I was amazed because I was in a leprosy mission watching some surgery in the north of India, and there was a fairly new surgeon at the hospital where I was. It was the Shadra Hospital, and he was performing reconstructive surgery, you know, taking hands that are like this, transforming hands that are like this, and trying to straighten them up through tendon transfer operations. And he held in his hands a little book of drawings, diagrams, instructions. It's almost like an instruction manual. Step one, do this incision here. It was a very much step-by-step guide, and it was written by the late Dr. Paul Brand, this great Christian missionary who became one of our greatest surgeons and taught many of the techniques that are still used today. So there we have pioneering surgery. Purulia Hospital Day still provides a wide range of services, including leprosy treatment, surgery to correct disabilities, ophthalmology, dermatology, gynecology, orthopedics, and general surgical procedures. When I visited last November and I witnessed these corrective operations and some cataract operations too for leprosy sufferers, it was amazing. With such basic facilities, the work that was being carried out in the name of Jesus. It's a busy place. And in the last year, we'll go back to that one there. In the last year, the outpatient attendance in the small hospital doubled to almost 45,000 people. Doubled. Their caseload, their workload doubled. Only two doctors in the outpatients department. Two doctors to see 45,000 patients a year. Dr. Aylin will tell you that that's a heavy caseload, isn't it? 45,000 patients a year shared between two doctors. And many of them, they require a lot of medical support. So that's the story. So let me introduce here Prem to you. 10-year-old boy, there he is there. You can't see it very well, being treated in the outpatients department. He lives in a village with his uncle's family and has three older siblings. His parents are daily laborers in a town that is about 120 kilometers away. He's got patches, you might not be able to see them, on his face, patches of leprosy, the marks of leprosy on his face, if you like. And they seemed innocuous enough as they didn't bother him, and he didn't worry too much. But once in a while, someone would comment to him, or a friend at school would point them out and say, "What's that on your face?" And he was starting to feel like people were starting to distance themselves from him. After a while, however, it was decided that Prem should be taken to see the village doctors, the quacks in his village. They didn't have a proper doctor in his village. And they put, you know, I don't know what they gave him, snake oil and goodness knows what all. Nothing worked. Then he went to see a proper doctor and was misdiagnosed. They said, "Oh, you have some kind of dermatitis on your face." And they gave him antifungal creams and various ointments were prescribed, including steroid creams. However, the patches didn't go away, and they became big and red. And two months ago, Prem's parents were summoned back from the town. After some consultation among family and friends, they decided to take Prem to the Leprosy Missions Hospital at Purulia because they had heard that it was such a good hospital. As I say, this basic hospital has a reputation in India for its work. Prem was diagnosed with leprosy and given the multi-drug treatment that kills the bacteria and stops you being infectious. So here Prem is taken to the hospital, but he's feeling so depressed due to the leprosy patch on his face, made so much worse by being misdiagnosed and being given things that don't work by quacks and even a village doctor. He was feeling ashamed and embarrassed because he was different, now looking different, and that people were starting to distance themselves from him. Here at Purulia Hospital, the staff will give Prem the medical treatment he deserves to heal him and to transform his life. As I said, water into wine, and here we have from a situation of failure, transformation, failure and rejection and not coping and facing an uncertain future into a future where he might overcome this problem, this huge problem of leprosy, this terrible disease that is leprosy. Jesus transforms. Through the medical knowledge of our staff, we help to transform lives. Moving on, today Prem wants to know how fast his face will get better. Sadly, the patch may reduce, but having been made worse by his village doctors and the quacks, it will never go away entirely. There was some damage done by some of the creams that he put on his face. As a result, he will not go to school at present, refusing to go to school. And the family says, we can't blame him, can we? Imagine this little boy in a village where they don't understand about leprosy and about things like that, being mocked, scorned. Friends that once spoke to him suddenly not talking to him. Teachers keeping a distance from him, say, don't come too close to me. Imagine the impact of that on a little 10-year-old boy, the rejection. The situation at Perulia is a bit like the challenge of serving the needs of all the guests at Cana. Just as Jesus miraculously provided for the additional requirements of the wedding guests, together we can improve. You know, this hospital has basically, over the years, faced a real decline in terms of the facilities. The medical care is as outstanding as anything, the medical expertise, but the building fabric, they rebuilt a section of it 40 years ago, is starting to crumble, and we need to transform it. Today, you've helped me do that. I was handed a check by Dr. Aylin. Some of you collect in the coins, don't you? And he handed me a check today. And that will go to help transform the hospital. Those of you who want to donate as well, there's the opportunity to do so through the envelopes that are on your chairs to transform this hospital in a very practical way. I think we all want to turn down the insipid water of our old lives, don't we? And find the richness of new life that Jesus offers. But we have to make an active decision to turn around from our old lives to follow Jesus. Remember a lot of discussion in Bible college, my Bible college days, on the word repentance. Repentance. It's not something we talk about so often these days. It's kind of a word that's gone out of fashion, isn't it? A bit like sin and some other words we don't tend to talk about so much these days. But repentance is the act, is when we come to God and God touches our lives and convicts us and we change from one direction into a different direction completely. That is the kind of transformation. Water into wine. Insipidness into richness. Jesus sees the world. I don't know about you, but the news never seems to get good, does it? I watch it year after year after year. Many years ago, there was a newsreader on the BBC who said, started a campaign to get positive news going. I think that was about 10 years ago. I've seen no improvement. I switched on the TV and think, oh my word, this is depressing. That is depressing. This is depressing. This is depressing. That's a horrible story. Yet, we have a God who can turn what is ugly and unattractive into something, transform it into something beautiful. He can do that in our lives personally. It begins with us. Let's forget about the wider world for now. And then, after that, it works outwards. We can call on God to transform our lives into something that is plain, unattractive even, into something that is beautiful. I'm just going to ask you to watch. There's a 7-minute film that's going to take you, transport you to India. One of my colleagues went there just recently, and this is a very recent video clip, just 7 minutes long. And then afterwards, we're going to go into a time of prayer before I hand back over I hand the service back over again. So let's just have a look at this video clip. 7 minutes long. Just bear with me. It'll take you to India and show you where we are working and some of the challenges that we're facing. It's good to be reminded how the other half live, isn't it? Let us now just come before God, and as we've heard about how they want to transform, as I say, the word transform just seems to pop up in every single sermon I do in some way, shape, or form. But as they want to transform that hospital, and through that transform lives, let us also be open to the transforming power of God in our own lives. Let us have some time of prayer now. And I'm just going to give you a few prayers connected with the work of the leprosy, but also inviting God to come in and transform our lives too. Lord God, as we've thought today about how you changed water into wine, you took that which was insipid, that which was plain, and transformed it into something else, something more attractive, something that tasted better. So, Lord God, you want to transform. We thank you, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for our medical staff of the leprosy mission. All 2,000 medical staff across the world working to bring about transformation, to take lives that are blighted by leprosy and to transform it, to show the love of Jesus in a practical way. Lord God, you don't just want to transform lives in India, in Perulia, or in other places in the world. You want to transform lives here. Yardley Baptist Church, today, right now. And Lord God, we just invite you to come and revisit us with your power, with your touch, with your hand, with your compassion, with your transforming love. And we would invite you to come and touch us each one now. Lord God, we know that when we are transformed, when you transform us, we are never the same again. And so, Lord God, we just want to praise you. We want to worship you. We want to give thanksgiving that you died for us, that we can enjoy salvation and enjoy the transforming power that you offer us, each one. Amen.